It's been one of those mornings where, you know, kind of everything didn't work out just like I thought it would. Anyway, I worked on the message this week, you know, and I thought, this message is going to be a little longer. I said, I don't want to do that to anybody. So then I get a call, text. Last night, says, there's no music. It's last night. I text back. I go, why? So y'all found this, I found. We don't have any music this morning. But anyway, you got me with an extra long message. So I have more time to do that. God knew it. He, you know, did away with the music and gave me extra time. Aren't you excited? Yeah, there you go. It wasn't much sincerity in that woohoo, but anyway, that's okay. Yeah, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your love and your kindness, and we just want to praise your name, and so glad that, you know, we come to this Christmas season and praise you and your miracle birth, Lord. And so we do really want to honor you this morning, and God, just your goodness, and just give you praise in all things. So I just pray you would just meet with each one of us and protect them, open each heart to hear, to receive maybe something they've never heard before, Lord, about the depth of this baby coming to earth. Lord, and too, also I want to pray for all those traveling, because I know a lot of people are traveling, and you take care of them, protect them. Anoint me with the Spirit, that I just speak words of the Spirit and have each heart to be open in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, a good Christmas message this morning. A baby is born. A baby is born. What I'm going to do, there's going to be, I'm going to read a lot of scripture, and it's going to be scripture you're probably familiar with, but I thought, you know, I'd delve into it and kind of look at focusing on the baby and how it applies to us and what God has done for us. And so, I hope you are encouraged by that. So, to start off, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. And rather than trying to do all these scriptures overhead like Wood said, and just have one overhead. That's the message, the one overhead. We're just going to talk about that one message. But let's just go, just preparing our heart and to understanding the depth of Christmas and what it means and why we celebrate it. So I'm going to start off here with Luke chapter 2, verse, and I'm going to go through verse 8 through 14. It says this, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, important word, city of David, the city of David. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So here we have just this message this morning, and the message that God gives us about the birth. We have a baby, you know, just like we have a baby born in a stable in an insignificant town, Bethlehem. And it is insignificant, but it's there, still there, in an insignificant town in Bethlehem in Israel, 5 miles from Jerusalem. It's a baby in an insignificant town. Yet approximately 2.2 billion people call themselves Christians and celebrate his birth. Okay, so the question, what's the big deal about the baby? I mean, what is the big deal about this baby in a stable? Baby in a stable. Well, Luke elaborates on this, and we want to look how this baby came about. Okay, 2.2 million people call themselves Christians are worshiping this. How did this baby come about? So I'm going to read to you Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. Familiar. And it says, now this is before the verses here, but it talks about how this birth came about. It says this, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. And he was of the house of David. Remember it said, house of David. Well, he's of the house. It's Bethlehem. He's from Bethlehem. And the virgin's name was Mary. Gabriel said to Mary, he appears to her, he says to her, she's taken aback by this. And he says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call him Jesus. Now, how many of you named your children before they were conceived? Isn't it amazing? He says, you're going to have a child. You name him. You're going to call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. So you have a baby, and here's a whole prophetic message about who this child's going to grow up to be. And Mary said to the angel, says, how can this be? He said, I'm a virgin. And the angel answered her, saying, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Then this next little verse is just, we could take it to all our Christian life. The next verse is this, Thursday said, For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And so, you know, even the Christians and the coming of Christ, nothing is impossible with God. But in our life, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. I'm here from the basis. Now, Mary answers, and how Mary answers is we have a lot to learn here, how Mary answers. And every believer should answer the same way Mary answered when God shows them something, when God speaks to them. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. According to your word. Now, when we think about this, oh my goodness, you know, if you put yourself in that place, in that context, you know, it's a little overwhelming. But also you think, wow, that just happened. But it didn't just happen. Okay, it wasn't like a knee-jerk reaction by God. Hey man, this cool, we'll get this thing running here and, you know, we'll do this thing. No, this was planned out from eternity past. This wasn't new information to God. God is just bringing this out at the time. See, this message about the baby and his mother was prophesied 800 years before. So God said through the book, through Isaiah, that this was going to happen 800 years before it happened. In fact, Isaiah 7:14 reads just like this. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel means God with us. No. The virgin's going to conceive, have a son, and you'll call him Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus is God with us. See, Jesus fulfills that. He's God with us. And so you have this laid out, what God is telling us about what something's happening and how special this child is. How special this child is. Not only tell Mary to name him Jesus before he was conceived, he prophesied about him 800 years before. This is an unfolding plan of God in this world to reveal himself to his people in this world. In this world. Now, you know, we look at this and considering the whole situation, he gives us, you know, if some people might think, gosh, I wonder how this takes place. And so now what happens in Gabriel, with Gabriel, he gives us more detail about this miracle conception of this unique baby. Because we're wondering, and Mary's wondering, I don't know how we're going to get this done. You know, how's this going to happen? And then Gabriel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, says, "The Holy Spirit, Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So now you've got the whole big picture here of why it's a virgin, how she conceives, because it's from God himself, and because, therefore, his father is God. And because his father is God, you know, Jesus is conceived and becomes, in human form, God with us. Now, the power of the Most High will overshadow Mary. And listen closely with this, because people ask, you know, I mean, we have, you know, fun. I always enjoy, you know, it's Christmas and you have the manger scenes and, you know, it's just by definition, it's just fun. You just enjoy that. I did this talk one time and these little kids, they're like 4 or 5 years old, and so they want me to share about Jesus. You know, I'm in my element, you know, talk 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds about Jesus. And I asked the little girl, says, about Jesus, and it says, you know who Jesus is? She said, yes, I do. I said, you do? She said, yeah, a little bit. She said, oh, yes, I do. And says, he's really, really little. He says, he's about this big. He's just little. I see it that big? Yeah. I said, where is he? Said, he's under my tree. You want me to show you? All right. I mean, praise Jesus. Okay. That was her view of Jesus. And it was a picture of Jesus under her tree in her manger scene. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, but I want to. But here's what's being revealed here. What makes this comment about this conception? See that the power of God is going to come onto Mary. See, the power of the Most High God will overshadow Mary, who will be the avenue from which Jesus will clothe himself with a human body. See, Jesus came in human form. He came in human form. He got the human body from Mary. The human body was from Mary. And so we see this, and look at that. Jesus clothed himself in a human body in the womb of Mary, through Mary. See, Jesus already was eternally existing. Amen? Amen. See, we're jumping way from Jesus. He's that bitty when he's under the tree. This is kind of jumping way past that. Way past that. But what you have here, Jesus was already eternally existing. He was here. Eternally past, eternally future. He is already eternally existing. But he will come from heaven and gain a human body through Mary. That's how he made the connection with the earth. It was through Mary. The human connection, the humanness. And you've heard it say he was fully human. But you have this picture, he is fully human. He was eternally existing. So the eternally existing God was clothed with flesh. Different kind of baby. Different kind of man, because he was the eternal God clothed in flesh, which he got from Mary. That's how God made him the connection with us. That's how the connection with us was made. Now, I want to share something with you about there's all sorts of things when you look at the depth of something like this, you go, you see the big broader picture, and then you look at the application. And you see where God is trying to tell us something. You know, we'll go back to the fact when he told Mary what was going to happen. She didn't put her arms around this. She's okay. He says, nothing's impossible with God. She says, okay, let it be according to your word. See, that should be a Christian attitude. Let it be according to your word. Because nothing's impossible to God. And therefore, we move like that. So, but in here stuck, which I think is fascinating, Luke records an interesting fact about babies. A fascinating fact about babies. And just read this. We're going to read in Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 44. So, Mary's had this experience with Gabriel. And he said, okay, this is how you're going to conceive the baby. She conceives the baby, okay. Now, here's what it says in Luke 1:39. It says, in those days, Mary went to see Elizabeth. Okay. Elizabeth, just so you know, is pregnant now with John the Baptist. She is pregnant with John the Baptist when Mary goes to see her. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, hey Mary, what's happening? Okay. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the baby in your womb. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Mary's a few weeks pregnant. Elizabeth says, it actually says in the scripture, she came to Elizabeth when she is in her sixth month. So Mary's a few weeks pregnant. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. When Mary greeted Elizabeth, the baby jumped in her womb. The six-month-old baby jumped in her womb. What came? Mary, who's conceived Jesus, to Elizabeth, who's 6 months pregnant. Both babies are alive and aware of each other. Think about that a minute. I preach things like this. People have told me before, as shares, that I very seldom preach anything political, ever. I don't take a side or anything. And what I believe is that if you preach the word, if you just preach the word to people, the people will make the right decisions politically. Right? Like this one. Both babies were alive. They knew each other. They jumped for joy. No questions. There's no questions for believers. There's no questions for believers. Amen? Fascinating. When you see this and you say this, fascinating. Now, without question, Elizabeth's baby was aware of Jesus. And jump for joy. He didn't jump for joy because of Mary. He jumped for joy because of Jesus. I don't know. He was aware of Jesus in the womb. He was aware of Jesus in the womb. And I'm kind of thinking the conceived Jesus was aware of John. That's just me thinking out loud. So you look at this. Oh my gosh. That the dynamic of what God working in our life starts at conception. God started working with your kids at conception. See? Did any of you ever notice that your kids are born with a personality? You ever notice that? Did you notice if you have two, they're born with two different personalities? You know when that happened? Conception. They came hardwired. conception. I always tell people, I do marriage counseling, and I remember I had this couple, and they shared, should they have children? I said, well, yeah, you definitely should have children. God wants you to have children. And I said, I think you should have two. He said, well, why did you say two? I said, you need two so they can fight. You know, you're missing out with one. You got to have two because they'll fight, you know, and they won't be alike. They'll fight with each other. And that's what God uses to raise parents, his children. Because the only people I ever met that had child-rearing totally figured out were singles. See, single people know how to raise kids, and they'll tell you. Yeah. What happens, it just blows their plans to have kids. I don't care what, I don't care where you went to school or anything. Yeah. You have kids like that, and you find everything you thought was wrong. It didn't work. And if you think it is working, just wait long enough and it won't work. Linda, oh, by the way, I want to share it. Today, Linda and I have been married 56 years. 57 years. So the reason I bring that up, oh, just to brag on Linda sticking it out. But one of the reasons I bring that out is we've seen a lot of kids grow up. They grow up. And we've had a lot of parents tell us how they were going to raise their kids, you know. And we just smile and know it ain't happening. It ain't happening. I mean, I'm just saying it ain't happening. What you're thinking ain't happening, okay? Because you're going to be, why'd they do that? Why'd they do that? It was not my side of the family. It had to be your side of the family, you know. Now, but it's fascinating. Kids come hardwired. Now, Jesus, you know, he's a special kid. He definitely hardwired. Jesus, I mean, being God, you know, he kind of can do some stuff other people can't do. And John the Baptist, you know, they when he told Elizabeth's husband she's going to have John the Baptist, he said, oh, okay, he's going to be called a prophet. Okay, raise his kid up. He's going to be a prophet. Well, how did God know he's going to be a prophet? You know? He's the guy, I know how I wired that kid. I know how he's wired. Now, how many of you go, God, why did you do this to me? No, I didn't. Anyway, I just think it's fascinating. But it makes you think, too, when you go to, like, Psalms 139, what it says about kids. And it says this in Psalms 139, verse 13 to 14. He says, For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. Amen. Your children were knitted together in your womb. In your womb. So, fascinating here. So, I think the reason I bring that up, Jesus and John the Baptist, now Jesus was unique. You know, he's a one-time deal, okay? God, you know, indwelling human flesh. That's like John the Baptist, he's just a regular kid, you know? Happened the regular way. Jesus is a little different. But the reason I'm bringing this up is to know that God knows who you are. God knows who your kids are. And although they may be a surprise to you, they're not a surprise to him. See? And so we need to know, like, no, these are, God made me, God made the kids, and then you try to work with this on what God says. And if you had, you know, I think too, God gives parents kids so at one time in their life they go, dear God, help me. See, it turns you to God. You know, God, help me get through. What? Oh my gosh. See? Because God is the only one that can really make things happen and work things out the way they should be. Amen? You see that? Fascinating. So right here, it is present here with Elizabeth and Mary. The same principle is here, and that's the reason that Jesus came and took on the human body, because he wanted to relate and be a man, fully man, fully man, and that's the reason God did it this way. Now, so having this. Not only was this baby's birth foretold, but also the place of his birth was revealed. He's told us where he's going to be revealed. Micah, 800 years before, and Isaiah spoke 800 years before and says it's going to be a virgin birth. Micah, now he speaks 800 years earlier too in the book of Micah, and he says that Jesus, the Messiah, is going to be born in Bethlehem. Oh, you're going to have a baby. And I said, by the way, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, it says in Micah 5:2 this, "You, O Bethlehem, you are too little, but from you come forth for me one, the Messiah, Jesus, who is to be ruler over all Israel." He just says that in Micah. Well, golly. Micah, Isaiah said this, and Micah said that, but they're talking about the same Messiah. They're talking about Jesus going to come. And says where he's going to be born, okay? So, and part of it, so there won't be any confusion. You know, it's like, gosh, I went to a, this is a little off, but I mean, drive me crazy. I went to, I had just come to know the Lord. I wasn't going to church, and so they had a Bible study. I thought, oh, my God, they're studying the Bible. That'll be good, you know, because I like the Bible, and they said they read the Bible. But I found out they didn't believe the Bible, but they did read it, you know. So I'm sitting there, know nothing, and I'm thinking, I don't know these people got their act together. You know, I was the youngest one there, so I didn't say anything. But I remember they were talking about Jesus. And he says, well, Jesus is going to return one day, the Bible. So they arguing about whether Jesus is going to return. And I'm thought, well, no, that I don't know why you're arguing about it, because it just says it. It just says it, so don't, there's an argument here. And he said, well, nobody knows how he's going to return. Nobody knows. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, you do. Yeah, I know. You know? And I'm the youngest one in here, and I know. You know, and I thought, I don't, and that got me, I don't know why you don't know. See, so the point of it is, you know, God wanted us to know where Jesus would be, so we'd know it was Jesus. So he's a virgin, and he's, okay, by the way, this kid's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. So we knew 800 years before, where he's going to be born. Now, and so that's helpful, you know, to understand what God's doing. And in fact, when Jesus was born at that time, all the religious leaders knew he would be born in Bethlehem. They knew. Every one of them knew, the religious leaders. Now, they said Messiah, but Jesus was the Messiah. In fact, it says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, 5, you know, when, you know, Herod's getting, you know, wind about, hey, this baby's born's going to be king. He's okay, I got to kill this kid, you know, because this is not, you know, we can't have this, even them thinking about it. So he says in Matthew 2, verse 3, says, Herod the king, assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and he inquired of them, he says, where is the Christ going to be born? And they told him, Micah 5, 2. Bethlehem. They all knew. They all knew. See, so as we said, this baby's special. God told us about him. Virgin born. You know, and he, right here, we have a fuller explanation in Luke as to why. And then we too, and then we also, where he is going to be born, the town he's going to be born in. See, and, you know, there's a certain amount of application here, too. How many of you don't like your heritage? You know, your DNA, where you came from, your life, you know, like that. And God has a sense of humor because he'll kind of mix and match, you know, with it. Like Linda, she's a sweet West Virginia girl. Nice West Texas boy. Man, you know, like that. And all hell broke loose. I mean, all hell broke loose. And for a long time, it's like that. But you stick with it, it worked out okay. Okay, it worked out, but we got a few cuts and bruises. Okay, but it worked out. We're happy. We had a nice dinner last night and ready to go this morning. So it works out. Well, you know, who in the world would put a West Virginia girl and a West Texas boy together? Who in their right mind? You know, it had to be an accident. A lot of people said, we thought it was an accident for a while, you know. It's just really bad planning. But, you know, see, God wasn't surprised. God wasn't surprised about that. He wasn't surprised where we were born any more than he knew where Jesus was going to be born. He knew he was going to be born. He knew. Do you think he knew where you were going to be born? Son of a God, we got Cynthia. Son, I had no idea Cynthia was going to be born where she was. Son of a God, well, we got to work with her now in that situation. Didn't happen. He knew. He knew. See? He knew. And so it helps you when we walk through life. It's like, no, he knew who you are. And he knew where you're going to be born. And he knew what he's going to do with you. You know, and he's going to work with you. And what he wants you to do, he said, what I want you to do is act like Mary. And she goes, your servant's here. I'll do whatever you say according to your word. That's all he wants you to do. That's all he wants you to do. All he wants you to do. And we all have a testimony about how he did that. How he did that. It's not an accident. We are not an accident. And you're working through your situation to draw closer to God. Now, Linda, I'm really getting off base on it, but I'm enjoying it. Getting off base. Like, Linda and I, when you look at it, when we look at our lives, and it was the what we see happening over the period of our lives, the things that happened to us, I'm just talking about Linda and I. The things that happened to us was to draw us closer to God and understand him. Understand him. That was the purpose the whole time. You know, and for some reason, he thought I needed her to get where I needed to be. See? But that ball bounces both ways. He thought she needed me. You know, to get, because he says, okay, this one we'll put there, and I'm going to work through, because the purpose is to grow closer to God in the relationship. See, and so he brings things across our path so that, oh, we can figure everything out. How's that working out for you? I know it ain't working out for none of you. See, well, because that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to grow towards him. Him, that's the whole purpose. To grow closer to him. And that's how a couple's supposed to work. That's how a family's supposed to work. And that's how people are supposed to work. So the ultimate thing is to grow closer to him. Why'd this happen to me? Because I wanted to teach you something about God so you would draw closer to him. Oh, you just didn't want me to figure out the whole world. No, you never figure out none of this stuff. And if you try to, you'd never be messed up. Because I'm trying to draw you closer to me and depend upon Mary and act like Mary. All right, your servant's here. I'll do everything according to your word. She learned young, you know, she learned young. But so there's no difference here. There's absolutely no difference here. He knew where he's going to be born. He knew what your heritage is supposed to be. He knew where the people you're supposed to meet. And what he wants to do, the one thing he wants to do, is draw you closer to him, where you will hear him say, your servant is here. Do whatever you're according to your word. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else. Okay? And if we put that first and the rest of it starts falling into place. But if you put this other stuff together, it never falls into place. Why? Because we screw it up. You see what I'm saying? But so you see this picture of perfection of what God did and how he worked it ultimate for the salvation of the whole world. The whole world. Now, so guys, act together. virgin, has a baby. Mary's pregnant. She's 9 months pregnant. She's going to have the baby anytime. Well, there's an issue. They live in Nazareth. Joseph and Mary live in Nazareth, the Galilee, which is 90 miles from Bethlehem. Now, I mean, it's a long way going by donkey. You know, it wasn't, I mean, it's a long way going by donkey. So 90 miles, they're in Nazareth. She's, put your image. It's going to happen soon. And Joseph's kind of saying, okay, we've got to go to Bethlehem. You know, on a donkey. Well, God's messed up. He's messed up. You got this woman, 9 months pregnant, going to have this baby, supposed to be born in Bethlehem, and they don't know what's going on. See, Joseph and Mary do not know what's going on. They just know pieces of it. They just know. Did you ever, in your life, you know everything's going on? Did you know the reason you don't know what's going on is because God doesn't want you to know what's going on? And therefore, you have to live by faith. You don't know what's going on. You got to live by faith. See, he does it on purpose. I don't know. So, I don't know if they're even thinking about it. So, what's God going to do? What's he going to do? He needs to tell somebody, a prophet or something, in Bethlehem, and send them to Joseph and Mary. Explain it to them. Get back down into Bethlehem. You know, while they have time, get a nice Hotel 6 down there and have his baby. Right? But God, he does crazy things. I mean, God knows I mean that. It's just from my perspective. He does crazy things. You know? So he needs to move Joseph and Mary 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So what God does, he moves in the heart of the greatest ruler ever known, Caesar Augustus. He's the ruler of the greatest kingdom ever known, the Roman Empire. He moves in the heart of Caesar Augustus to tax the entire world. And he wants some tax, they have to go to their hometown. So Joseph, hometown's Bethlehem. Mary, Caesar Augustus, we got to go to Bethlehem. I know you're 9 months pregnant. We got to go to Bethlehem, you know, to register to pay taxes. What happened to the pamphlet of the prophet? Now, I mean, I could have talked to him. I mean, listen, y'all, you know, I'm at a hard time convinced, but you see what happened, what God did? He moved in the nations, the majesty, the magnitude of the nations to move Joseph and Mary 90 miles. What's he going to do with you? What's he going to do with you? Well, this world situation has no impact on me. I'm just trusting Jesus. You want to make a bet? You want to make a bet. There's no telling where you end up, and it may be because God moved in the world to make an upheaval for where you live, where you have to go someplace else. You see what I'm saying? But the only reason I bring this up is to show the magnitude of God. They got to get to Bethlehem. She's pregnant now. Okay, I'll move the whole world for taxation, and they're going to have to go. The king, the empire, tax the whole world to get them 90 miles. Don't think you're slipping through life and none of this has any effect on you. No, I'm working with you. Pay attention. I'm working. It's going to impact you. But don't you think I don't have it under control. I got it under control. You know, if I move these two poor people 90 miles to have a baby, I can move you too. I can move you too anytime I want to. I'll move through. I'll change everything. You won't even know what's going on. So, to me, I think that is just totally fascinating. And then what I love, too, about the whole thing, here is God moves through Caesar, the Roman Empire, the whole world, and he moves into Bethlehem. And there are no rooms. There are no rooms. God, you could have got them a room. You moved the world. You could have got the kids a room. This is the first baby. She's probably a teenager. You know, they didn't have a room. God, why did you do that? You must have something. You know, I did it just the way I wanted to do it. Do what I say. Do what I say. Just watch the miracle. So, as a result, they find the stable. Jesus is born in the stable and has a crib. Has a manger is his crib. The King of the universe has a manger. It's his crib. God with us is in a manger. It's his crib. God did it on purpose. He never told Mary and Joseph. Never told them. They didn't even know they were supposed to go to Bethlehem. She sure knew she was pregnant. Okay, but she didn't know she's going to Bethlehem. He said, no, I'll get you to Bethlehem. And by the way, when you get there, you're going to have to stay in the stables. He didn't tell them that. He didn't tell them. They got there and had to stay in the stable. See? So he's like, gosh, I can't imagine. Imagine your own life. I'm just telling you, it happens. It happened. We just complain and whine. Instead of seeing God's hand, we complain. Well, I mean, so-and-so came down here last week and they had a nice Hotel 6, and here I am stuck in this stable, pregnant. Pregnant. See, something's wrong. No, when everything's right. Everything's right. We're wrong because we can't have that. Okay, your servants here according to your word. I believe she said that when Joseph said, okay, we got this donkey, we got to go to Bethlehem. She said, okay, God, your servant according to your word, I'll go. Have this baby a stable in the heaven manger. Is it in his crib? Oh my goodness. I'm so glad we didn't have music today. I can just bask in this. Y'all can enjoy it with me. Nobody giggled. So what we have here is Jesus, this whole picture we start, is Jesus being born in a stable. Now, what happens, what we need to understand, the thing, Jesus is born in a stable. What Jesus did was took on human flesh. He took, with Mary, he took on human flesh. And that baby came, and in that crib, that is God clothed in human flesh. That's Jesus. He's eternal, but he's in that baby clothed in human flesh, laying in that crib. He's laying in that crib. And this is the way God wanted it. This is the way God wanted it. Now, the Gospel of John reveals the magnitude of this event. Really, if you listen closely to the Gospel of John, he reveals the magnitude of this particular event. And again, what we have here, God is born. Mary, God is born, clothed in flesh. That's what happened. Y'all with me? God, the eternal God, got a body, grew up, gestation period. 9 months later, she gives birth to a body that contains the Spirit of the living God. God is born in human flesh in that stable and put in that crib. And that's the way God wanted it. And there's a reason he wanted it that way. Now, again, here's the magnitude. I want to grab the magnitude. John 1:1 tells us the magnitude of what happened here. The eternal God came to earth and got a body. Got a body. That's what happened. That's what happened. He indwelt, and a body grew around that. Jesus is clothed in a body. In a body. Listen to what John 1:1 says. The eternal God is clothed in a body. It says, in the beginning, was the Word. Now, just put in parentheses, that's Jesus, because it tells us in verse 14, it's Jesus, okay? In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. Who is Jesus? Okay? You don't have to be too bright to figure this out. You don't. You know, and God made it that way. Because He wanted people like me to come to Him. He made it easy. So let me read it. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, Jesus, was God. Then look what verse 14 says. And the Word, talking the same Word, and the Word, Jesus, and the Word, became flesh. What became? Who became flesh? Somebody tell me. God. Jesus, right? He became flesh. It says here, and the Word Jesus became flesh. Or put it, and the Word Jesus became a baby. The Word Jesus became a baby and dwelt among us. The Word Jesus became a baby in a stable, and He had a crib. His crib was a manger. The God, the universe, was in a manger, in a stable. And that's the way God wanted it to be. Wanted it to be. The most significant event of all time, I'm going to say in all eternity, I think it's in all eternity, the most significant event in all eternity takes place in a stable where Jesus, the King of the universe, the eternal God, is born and put in a manger is His crib. That's a big deal. Put that, match that up. Man, not only that, that goes back 800 years, it actually goes back further than that, where the prophecies lay this out. Just what's going to happen. Just what's going to happen. You know, I always love it. The Pharisees and Sadducees, like they said, that Herod goes, hey, wait a minute, where's this baby going to be born? And they tell him, Micah 5:2. So He knows. So when Jesus is up and around talking to these Pharisees, he was always good to the sinners, you know, that didn't know anything. He's good to them. But the Pharisees, they'd say something. He said, wait a minute. Don't you know the Scripture? Don't you know the Scripture? You know, you don't know the Scripture. He told them all the time. He said, the Scripture, they tell of Me. They write it for Me. Oh, where? Well, like how it's going to be born, where it's going to live, where I'd be, you know, how it could be conceived, and plus the other, all sorts of stuff. He goes, you don't know the Scriptures. You don't know the Scriptures. I love this one you've heard me say before. They came up and asked Jesus a question. And He goes, well, you don't know the answer because you don't know the Scripture. I mean, don't you just love telling the pastor that? It's that you don't know the Scripture or the power of God. You just don't know. See? So, that's all coming out here. And so we see this picture, especially with John 1:1. Jesus became flesh. Where did, per our message today, Jesus became a baby. He became, and He grew up. Bodily, He grew up, but inwardly He was Christ, the living God. Now, as we look at this, through this baby, we have an understanding. Through this baby, we have an understanding of life. Okay? We have this understanding of life and how God uses people and what He knows. And like Gabriel told Mary from the first beginning, He goes, nothing's impossible to God. I can do this. You know, I could do this. So in our life, nothing is impossible. And it's like, gosh, I'm in the stable and the kid's in the crib. His crib's a manger. I must do something wrong. You know, you're doing exactly what I told you to do. You keep coming to Me. You keep praying. So God, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing just what I wanted to do. Now you keep listening to me because I'm doing just what I want to do. And you may be in a stable. And your kids may be in a manger. This is the reason I hated about these charismatic, you know, name it and claim it folk. You know, I mean, Jesus wasn't one of them. He wasn't one of them. I mean, they're going to kill Jesus. They put him out, and the disciples, they get swords, they're going to go fight. And he goes, listen, stop it. Stop it. Don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels? Don't you know? Don't you know? And he goes, but how would the scripture be fulfilled? You see, it ain't no different with us. You have to do, be obedient where you are in your situation, trusting God, walking so God can work through you to do what he wants to do with you at that time and reveal the fullness of his power. But he can't reveal the fullness of the power unless you listen to him and do what he says. And all God's people said, it was what he's asking of us is no different than Jesus. And no difference in that at all, what he's asking. And Jesus' behavior, our behavior is supposed to be the same as Jesus' behavior. You see, he became a man to show us how a man should act. A man listens to God and does what he says. Three or four places in Scripture, especially the Gospel of John, he says this. Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me. Wow, Jesus does all these magnificent things. He's wonderful. Oh, gosh, look at that. I want to do all these things. And Jesus is going, I just did what God told me. This wasn't just me doing stuff to have show and tell. The Father told me to do it, and I did it. And so I did it, and because the power of God worked through me to make it happen. I just do what he tells me. See, we do stuff, you know, and then try to put God in it, you know. And he's never happy about that, and he won't make it work out. You know, he will list, you know, can't do it, can't help you. You know, you're giving me all the credit, but I had nothing to do with what you're doing. Good, sounds good. You got a bunch of people fighting like that, but it's not what I told you to do. You can't expect me to help you out. You can't expect me, because then it's just going to reinforce your disobedience. And, you know, and I might want you in the stable. Might want you in the stable. Now, what I'm going to put together here, as you read through the scriptures, I'm talking about myself. Have you read through that? God, why couldn't you just kind of put this all together and just explained it? You know, kind of, you know, we're going to Isaiah, Micah, and we're going to Luke, and we're going all, and it's like, man, about Jesus, why couldn't you just put it in one spot and kind of explain it? And then he has. The Lord has. There's so many times. I've told you, I shared with you. I'm going to share this verse with you, and I'll talk about it. And this is the verse that I've always skipped over my whole Christian life because it didn't mean anything. And now when I understand it and read it, and I thought it was the center to the whole message. I never did get it right because I skipped this verse because I didn't understand it. He goes, it's been the center to the whole message. And I'm thinking, wow, this is really good. This is really good. He explained, this is really good. It's not what I thought it was, but this is really good. Well, here's one of those verses. This is going to explain the virgin birth and Christ coming to earth and why he did it. Everything's going to be explained. You ready? How many verses? 6 through 8. 6, 7, 8. 3 verses. Are y'all ready? You want to hear it? He's going to tell it. He's going to tell us everything we need to know. Everything we need to know. And if you want to write it down, it's Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Now again, we're talking about the virgin birth. we're talking about, you know, coming down to earth, being born in a stable. you know, has a manger for a Christian. So this is the whole message. This is what we're talking about. And so what Paul said, okay, let me explain it to you. We'll kind of do what in here. Let's just go over this, pulls it all together, and so you'll understand it. You ready? You ready? Okay, listen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, listen to every word, okay? Listen to the word. Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, okay, form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now understand what this said. God, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. That's where we are. So Jesus is God. He's always been God. For eternity, he's been God. All right, that's so. And so he's always been in the form of God. And he's been equal to God. Amen? Well, this is what this verse is saying. Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count the equality with God something to be grasped and hung on to in heaven. I'm just, go to earth, not doing it. Staying here. Okay. He did not count the equality with God a thing to be grasped. But Jesus is God, emptied himself. Cross. Jesus is God, emptied. He's in heaven with God. But Jesus is God, emptied himself. I think the King James says that he made himself nothing. Jesus is God, emptied himself. How did he empty himself? Jesus is God, emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born as a baby in the likeness of men. I emptied myself. Didn't grasp onto God. I emptied myself. I became a baby. It doesn't say baby in the text, but it means baby, the fruit. Baby. I became a baby. I didn't hold on to God. I became a servant. I became a baby. See? Most fascinating. I became a baby. I became, how it says this, by taking the form of a servant, being born as a baby in the likeness of man. A man. I took on a human. Didn't take on anything else, squirrels or monkeys or anything else. I took on the form of a man. Taking the form of a man, made myself a servant, being born as a baby in the likeness of men. Now, and being found in human form, how did this happen? He's found in human form. Now he's a baby. This baby's growing up. And being found in human form, he's walking. You can see him walking, talking man. And being found in human form, he is God clothed in the flesh. Okay, you see the flesh. I'm Jesus. Jesus is in the body. And being found in human form, Jesus is a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's how it happened. That's why we have a virgin birth. That's why. That's why we have a virgin birth. So being in the form of a man, became a servant. He became a servant in the form of man. And then he humbled himself. Then he became obedient and took on the sins of the whole world and beat it and died on the cross. So we have a home in heaven. There's no home in heaven without the virgin birth. I was listening to a pastor. I've talked to the guys, or you know, the elders or sometime. You learn to listen to people. And you got to be careful. You know, people, we misspeak, and I misspeak all the time and stuff, and so you give people a lot of grace. But you got to listen, and people will say stuff, and you think, wait a minute, no. That's not just a misspeak. That's heresy. That's heresy. And there was a guy, I'm not going to tell you his name, Woods knows, we talked about this before, and he wrote books upon books. And I mean, all denominations were lifting this guy up. He's a real evangelist, you know. And he was had all this, you know, feel good stuff, you know, bringing people to Jesus, you know, and really was a good writer. And so I read one thing, and it's like, no. I'll never read anything this guy ever said again. I just read one line, and this is what he said. He says, don't get hung up on the virgin birth. That's all he said. Everything else is great. He says, don't get hung up on the virgin birth. Well, if you miss the virgin birth, you miss salvation. If you miss the virgin birth, you miss what God did for you. You miss the virgin birth, you miss what God did for all humanity. If you miss the virgin birth, you miss the single event of all eternity that makes a difference. That's all he said. I said, I'm done with that guy. Now, years and years later, he is totally off the track. He's totally denied God and everything, and most denominations have, you know, said fooey to him. But they should have done it a long time ago, because it was there. So you can't, somebody say that, you can't give them any grace. You got to forget about the virgin. No, you can't forget. No, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So, right here, and this so explains the very deity of Christ, the very deity of Christ. Now, so does that have, let me read this quickly through, because I'm trying to explain it, and I'll just read how it says. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born as a baby in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Had to happen, and that's the reason, and that's the compact explanation of the whole thing right there. And that's why we're here this morning, celebrate the birth of Jesus. And the greatest event, and this is my opinion, the greatest event of all eternity. It's like, pick on people. This is fun. This is me getting. It's like Elon Musk. God bless his heart. You know, and it's funny. He's smart. Oh my God, he's smart. You know, we're going to go to Mars and there'll be truth and you're colonizing. And I said, hey, Elon, ain't happening. And if you get there, there ain't nothing there. And not, I'm telling anybody here, ain't nothing there. The center of the universe, the center of eternity is the birth of Christ. The whole universe circles around that, the birth of Christ. And that's what Christians believe. And when we believe that, we step in that to the fullness of Christ and see him work in our life. And he does things like put us in stables for a while, teach us things for a while. Because his purpose is to teach us to be obedient to him. Amen. And then with that, we proclaim praise, just like the angels told, you know, close with, just like the angels told the shepherds in Luke 2:11. It says this, guys, here's what's happened. And it says the angels were there. I personally think all the angels of heaven, they left the throne of God. There wasn't anybody at the throne of God. There were just crickets up there. Oh, all the angels were right there looking at this baby. They're all looking. Oh, it happened. It happened. Everything looking here. And he says unto them, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's the way it was, and that's the way it works. All God's people said. Let's clap. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we think, oh my word, we look at this word and what you've revealed to us, the truth, the magnitude of what you revealed in your word. God, we're in awe. We're in awe. And to know that you loved us and you touched us individually. You touched us individually. And we are just the way we're supposed to be. You just want us to look to you and follow you, and you will do with us what you want to do. But we have to hear you and say, here's your servant, do to me according to your word. That's all he wants. That is all he wants. He doesn't want you to be nothing. You know, he wants you to be obedient to him according to his word. And he will be everything. Everything. And you'll just be stunned. You'll be absolutely stunned about what he does. And you know, I'm just going to, you know, slip this in. Just look at how you screwed up already. I mean, just look at it. Just look at it. And God said, God, what do you want me? I want you to pay attention to me. Period. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. And two, the picture we have in Jesus. Jesus born in the stable, to lay in a manger, and to think we're something more. God, your will be done. Your will be done. So we give thanks to you. And Lord, I can be thankful. We didn't have the music this morning. Just give me more time to speak. And so thank you for that. God, we give you all the glory and honor in the name of the Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. I encourage you to come back next time. There'll be less speaking and more music.